Well, my name is Blake Bennett. I'm the pastor at City Church, and it's an honor to be with y'all here tonight. When Pastor Gary asked me to share, I was really honored because it gave me a reason to wear my jacket, and I'm excited about that. And it's so great to see so many old friends. The City Church exists because of this church at Southside. And if you don't have a church home, man, we'd love to have you at any one of these churches. We all want the same thing. To see the city be better because of the name of Jesus changes things. And we believe that. And so to all my friends at Southside, how you guys doing? Good. Awesome. City Church, how you guys doing? One of those churches is a little bit louder than the other one. We'll figure that one out later. But man, it is great to see everybody and have the kids in here with us. And just such an honor. I want to read you the original Christmas story and then talk for just a few moments on it. Hope to bring a little bit of joy into your Christmas season. There's a lot of things you could be doing right now, and you've chosen to be here, and I think that's special. It says a lot about you. You could be out doing Christmas caroling or eating whatever figgy pudding is or watching Hallmark Channel because they only have one time a year where anyone ever watches the Hallmark Channel, and it's Christmas time, and the rest of the year we forget they even have a TV channel. But you're here tonight, and that matters, and I want to remind us of what we've gathered around. This is the Christmas story as told in the Gospel of Luke. Shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you." Interesting, he says that the sign is like for them. Like there's something in the sign that he's about to tell them that they're going to understand uniquely as shepherds. He says, "The sign for you is you'll find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." And skipping just a little bit ahead to verse 15, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And the next verse tells us that they went around telling everybody. And here was the fruit of that. All who heard it wondered. Would you say wondered? Wondered, wondered at what the shepherds told them. I want to talk to you just briefly on the subject of questioning Christmas. Because I think there's some things that happen this time of year that can cause a little bit of wondering in our hearts. Maybe triggers some questions about God, questions about life. It's a time to review 2019, and maybe 2019 didn't really go the way you were hoping it would. You maybe were handed some things by life that were difficult, and you're hoping for something better in 2020, but Christmas causes us to kind of pause and wonder, and there's a lot of questions in the Christmas story. Like, for one question is why is Christmas such good news? This is what the angel says. Christmas is good news for all people, but what makes it such good news? And the reason why it's good news is because we have to remember the bad news that we'd be in without Christmas. That's what makes it good news. And it's not fun sometimes to pause and remember what it would look like in our lives without Jesus, but sometimes remembering what it is that we have been saved from. For those of us who've been following Jesus for years, that we don't get over the fact that Jesus has rescued us, that never gets old news because it's too good of news to become old news for us. And it's moments like this we pause and we remind ourselves of how good the news really is because of how bad the situation would be without Jesus. Publix has these commercials that they run. You may have seen them around Christmas time. They just make you cry. I think that's Publix's goal at Christmas time. They have these commercials that will just... I remember two Christmases ago, my wife was pregnant with our daughter Eloise, and we had this Publix commercial that kept playing on our TV, and she would cry every single time she saw it. She just connected with it because it was about this newborn baby and we were awaiting ours. And it made us sad to see this kind of sad commercial, but it made us more deeply enjoy the life that we actually had in front of us. And that's kind of how the good news works. It's good because we know what it is that it saved us from. And we recognize that as people, we don't have the ability to hit an undo button on the sins and the mistakes of our past. We can't do that. We don't have that power. And the reality is that for each and every one of us, there is this trouble, this pain, this suffering in this world that we kind of summarize as sin. And the sin is fractured us from heaven, right? There's this fracture between earth and heaven. It separates us from God. And the good news is not that we have the ability in ourselves to somehow lift off of earth and make it into heaven. But the good news of Christmas is that heaven came to earth in the form of a baby, that we couldn't make it into heaven. So heaven came down to us. Jesus was born for us, and that's what makes the news so good. And the angels say a couple of amazing things about this king who's born as a baby that comes to reunite heaven and earth so that we can be reestablished with our creator. He says that he's born in the city of David, which means he's a king because he's bringing a kingdom. And they say that he's a savior. And the idea of Jesus being a savior is that which defines Christianity. That we understand that we have someone who has saved us because we cannot save ourselves. That's what we remind ourselves of in this Christmas season, is that which defines us. The things that we create in our own intellect, even the religious systems that we could create, are all about us saving ourselves, lifting ourselves out of the situation, trying to do better next year. And the reality is that we can't do better next year. We need a savior who can actually transform our heart, give us a new nature that actually empowers us to be like the one who created us to live. We need a savior. And the angel said of Jesus that he was a Messiah, which isn't an English word. It's just a word that simply means the anointed one or the chosen one. That Jesus was so much more than a good man. He was actually God-man. That he was God and he was man. And he did for us what we could not do for ourselves, which is live a sinless, perfect life. So that in his last moments, he who had never sinned and had never tasted separation between earth and heaven, that he would actually take our place and take on the sufferings of the world so that through faith we could become his righteousness and be reestablished with our creator. It says that that's the Messiah. God's echoing through the Christmas story, this is my plan A, and there is no plan B. That Jesus is it, and he's hope for all people, and everyone gets an invitation. And the angels say something else about him that's curious. They said that he's Lord. Which is kind of hard for us because we grew up in the good old USA. So we're not used to a lord or an emperor or a king. We're used to a president. And Jesus is Lord, which means that we don't vote him in and we can't vote him out. We don't just have to wait 4 years if we don't like him to see what changes. That he's here to stay. That our opinion actually bows to his creation because he is Lord. And this is such great news. It's interesting, this is the news that God came to tell us through Jesus. Why in the world would he choose shepherds first? Why are they the ones who get to hear it first? Maybe you don't know this, but it's interesting that we have shepherds in our nativity scene because shepherds were like the outcasts of society. Like metaphorically and literally, they were the outcasts of society. They had to live outside of the city. They were considered like the lowest of the low, and they were so kind of looked down upon that their testimony wasn't even valid in court in the time period that Jesus was born. That's how low they were in the social system of their day. And then here comes God bringing his heavenly choir to announce the birth of his son. And he can choose anyone that he wants to tell first. He could go to the emperor of Rome. He could go to the religious leaders of the day. He could show up in the temple or the synagogues, call the priests and the rabbis together. And instead, God chooses to tell shepherds first, which is deeply troubling. But it's also incredibly freeing, because the reality is that this king who's been born for all of us did not just come for holy people. He came for broken people, people who are the outcasts, people who are separated, people who are discounted, people who have a past, a story, a history that feels like you may be disqualified from knowing how good this God really is and reestablish yourself to him through Jesus. But he comes not for the holy. He comes for those who recognize that they are not and need a savior. Why did he go to shepherds first? To let all of us know that he came for people. He didn't come for those who have PhDs. Or those who are perfect or can perform well. That he didn't come for those of us who can just have it all put together and look at my position. He came for people. And the good news is that you have a pulse, you're a people. That means Jesus came for you. And there's another question that I think about, and I'm only going to give you one more because Pastor Gary only gave me 15 minutes. Is why a manger in Bethlehem? Kind of an odd place for a baby to be born. The angels looked at the shepherds and said, hey, it's going to be a sign to you that there's a baby in Bethlehem in a manger. And what's interesting about the shepherds is they didn't even ask any questions. They immediately went. Like, they knew exactly where they were going, which is interesting to me. Why a manger? Why Bethlehem? See, maybe you don't know this, but if you read through the Jewish historians, what you'll find out is that in Bethlehem about this time period, and the sheep in the Bethlehem region, many of them were raised precisely to grow up to be sacrificial lambs in the temple system of the Jewish people. And so through generations of breeding, these sheep were very perfect, without flaw. They didn't have any blemishes. And so what would happen is the firstborn among a new grouping of sheep, they would take that firstborn lamb and they would set it aside to one day die in the temple system. Well, what is even more interesting about what was going on in Bethlehem at the time is one Jewish historian actually tells us that there was this odd practice of what would happen with those newborn lambs that were born to one day die. That the shepherds would actually take them, and to signify how sacred that lamb was, that many historians record that they would actually wrap them in swaddling clothes and place them in a manger during their first moments of life. And it's no wonder that when the shepherds heard that this was the sign of what was to happen, they immediately went to Bethlehem because they knew immediately what was up. That if this really was a child who's been born in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, then this child has been born to die. And they knew it was God's plan. And that's the amazing thing about Christmas, is that we celebrate not just simply the birth of Jesus, but we recognize that Jesus, he was born to die for you and for me. And this Christmas, like the shepherds, we can have certainty of where we're going and where we need to look for hope in this life. That they knew exactly where they were going. They knew exactly where to find joy, and they knew exactly where to search. And we can too. It's in Jesus. That we don't have to search to the ends of the earth to find purpose and meaning and hope and comfort, that we can actually know exactly where we need to search first. It's in Jesus. So one of the things I question this Christmas is, where are you looking? Because this lamb who was born to die, his cousin would one day say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Look, the Lamb of God. Look, where are you looking for joy this Christmas? It's why these moments matter, where we just kind of pause for a little bit and we think about it. And I know what you're thinking. If you go to church all the time, you know, this is part of like what we do on Christmas and it's so sacred to us, but maybe you haven't been in church in a long time. I recently was reminded of what it feels like to be an outsider in a Christian gathering. I'm actually really surprised I was invited here, because less than a month ago, I had another invitation from Pastor Gary to preach and I forgot. Yeah, it's an awful feeling when you're the pastor who's supposed to be preaching and you get a text while you're eating at PDQ, a fried turkey sandwich, that where are you? You're supposed to be preaching in 10 minutes. And I felt awful. So what we did is we got in the car and I changed clothes and I went down, and I was just going to get there at the end of the service just to ask for forgiveness, to apologize to whoever had to pretend like they came prepared that day to preach a message. And I remember showing up, and as I'm driving up there, I'm having thoughts about what it's going to feel like to walk into that church. And I'm having thoughts like, God must be so disappointed with me right now. When I walk in there, you know what those people are going to do? They're going to reject me because I have so deeply let them down. If they only knew how much I was enjoying that PDQ sandwich, they would never let me in. And I remember sitting in this church with all these rows. I sat in the very last row. There was like no one between. There was like 12 empty rows. I'm just in the back row, kind of head down, so embarrassed to just be in here. And I don't wonder if you might be able to relate to that feeling. You step into a moment like this and you feel like, man, God must be so disappointed with me. If these people only knew, they would reject me. And I got to tell you, Christmas screams the exact opposite of that. Christmas screams that God is not far from you. He actually wants to draw near to you. That he did not send Jesus so that he could reject you, but to call you because he already knows that you're not perfect. He's waiting for you to just come and ask for forgiveness. And that's what we celebrate in Christmas. And so for those of you who may or be feeling like an outsider in this gathering, I just came to let you know you belong here. You belong in God's family. You belong in his household. You belong here. There are no outsiders in God's kingdom because we've all been brought near because of Jesus. And I can think of no better way of celebrating that tonight as multiple churches, multiple neighbors gathered together in one. worship gathering tonight than to celebrate by taking communion. And so I'm going to actually have our deacons and the band come up, and we're going to receive communion together as a church. And I know that for many of you, this might be a new experience. We're going to, in just a moment, after we distribute everything, explain a little bit more deeply of what this moment looks like. Pastor Gary will come back up and share a little bit more about what it would look like to leave this place with certainty of knowing where you're looking for joy this Christmas and what it would look like to put your faith in Jesus. But I just want us to just kind of pause for a moment. What's going to happen is these elements, as our team leads us in a song, are going to be distributed. And inside, you're going to see two cups. One cup has a little wafer of bread. The other cup has the juice. And I'm going to ask that everyone just hold it, and we're all going to receive together at the end of the song. Okay, so just hang on to it. There's two cups in there. You're going to go ahead and pull both of those out. And we are going to have a sacred moment together where we celebrate as multiple churches, as multiple people, that the name that's most important this Christmas season is not the name of the church that's on the outside of our gatherings, but the name of Jesus that we lift higher than every other name. And we're going to celebrate that his body was broken so that the body of Christ could be whole. And we're going to receive this juice together, celebrating that we know that we have a Savior who was born to die so that we could walk in covenant with God. So Father, we just pray that as we move into this sacred moment of remembrance, Lord, that you would even now begin to move and impress on those who would feel far from you, and that we would experience that presence that comes from your Holy Spirit, that you're not far, you're drawing near and calling all people. Lord, I ask that in this time that we would have clarity, man, that you're calling. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that you can bring freedom and hope and healing and joy to each and every one of us in this moment. We just give it to you right now in the name of Jesus.